In a small town in northern Spain called El Sobrero, an extraordinary thing happened a couple centuries ago. This small town, situated on top of a mountain, a beautiful, picturesque little village, has thatched roofs and slate walls on all the houses. Looks like a village in Ireland. At the end of this little town, there's a village church that has been standing there for hundreds of years. And there once was a priest who was serving as pastor in this small town. And this priest started to lose his belief in the Eucharist. The feast we celebrate today, Corpus Christi, remembers this basic truth of our faith that this priest started to doubt. He said, "I don't really believe that when I or any priest says, 'This is my body given for you,' when a priest or myself takes a chalice of wine and says, 'This is my blood poured out for you,' that it becomes the body and blood of Jesus. It's just a symbol." So one day, as this priest is getting ready for Sunday Mass, he looks outside and he sees that it's been snowing all night. As you remember, this town is built on top of a hill, on top of a mountain. So the people from the surrounding area have to travel up this mountain in good weather to get to Mass. And this Sunday, they have to travel through 3 or 4 feet of snow to get to Sunday Mass. And the priest says, "No one's going to show up." You can imagine his shock as he's getting ready for Mass. The doors open, and one farmer named Juan walks through the door. A very devoted man who comes to Mass every single day. And it kind of, the priest almost looks at disgust in this guy and says, he thinks in his head, "Why is this man here? Why is he here?" So the priest celebrates this essentially private Mass between him and this one farmer. He gets to the words of consecration, consecrates the bread and wine to become the body and blood of Jesus, even though he disbelieves. And then he looks up from the plate with the host on in the chalice, looks over at the farmer and says, "It's a lot of sacrifice you just went through for mere bread and wine, isn't it?" Then he looks back down at the host on the paten, and from the host starts to pool out blood. And in the chalice, there is not even the appearance of wine anymore. It is human blood. A miracle had just taken place. And this priest's faith had been restored. He realized it is no ordinary thing to come to Mass. It is no simple act to approach Jesus in the Eucharist. We come before our Lord, our God, at every Mass, and oftentimes we forget this. This is an amazing feast, the Feast of Corpus Christi. You know, 7 centuries ago, a similar miracle happened in Italy, which prompted the Pope to institute this feast, the Feast of Corpus Christi. We have other feasts in the church, Holy Thursday, for example, which celebrate when Jesus gave us the Eucharist at the Last Supper, when he gave us the priesthood at that same supper. But today's feast is a reminder to all of us that what happens at this altar and any altar in a Catholic Mass is not symbolism. Yes, the bread and wine appear to remain the same, but a miracle takes place, and they become, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's extraordinary. So on this feast, question for us to ponder in our prayer, as we especially ponder this farmer, this simple man coming through 3 or 4 feet of snow to Sunday Mass, is this. Why do we come to Mass? Why do you and I come to see Jesus every week? If we get that answer in our minds, perhaps we need to go a little deeper, because perhaps the first answer is obligation, or it's something good to do. Now, both of those reasons are true. It is an obligation, and it is a good thing. But could there perhaps be something deeper, something more magnificent that awaits us at every Mass? And don't we need to go a little deeper in coming to Him, in coming to Jesus? So I'm going to briefly take you through three reasons why I come. And these reasons for me keep developing year after year, week after week. They grow deeper. New reasons pop up. I could keep going on and on about my love for Jesus in the Eucharist. The first is, I need strength for the week. Life's hard. Life's difficult. A lot of responsibilities we have, tension, perhaps in our families, friends, relationships. Perhaps our job, our career is difficult. Perhaps we don't have a job. Perhaps we're dealing with an illness or the illness of someone in our family. Perhaps we're just dealing with some sin, some crushing weight that's placed on us by life, and we're like, God, I don't know what to do about this. This is why I come here, to be filled up and strengthened in the love of God. The image I like to use is swimming laps in a pool. God has asked me to swim laps of service and prayer and sacrifice for Him over and over again. Keep doing laps in the pool. And for me to push off the wall is for me to have that foundation, that pillar of love that pushes me off again, that I can continue doing laps. With that wall there, that foundation, I can do far more than if I didn't have it. Every time I come here to the Eucharist, I push off of this wall of love, this foundation, this pillar of love. I get filled up again to go forth and say, Lord, here is my life. Here is my service. Here is my prayer. I give this to You. My second reason's a little similar. It's this, that miracles happen on this altar. Happen in this place. So my first reason, strength. Yes, I need strength to do what the Lord asked me to do, to do my daily, ordinary life. But that makes it seem like I have it all together. But I don't. In our gospel reading, we have a great image of the multiplication of loaves and fish, where Jesus asks His disciples, I want you guys to feed 5,000 people. With 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's impossible. Jesus, how could you ask that of your apostles? And how often in our lives do we feel like He's asking us to do the same? What you ask is impossible. What you ask is impossible. Just one quick little note as we reflect on the gospel passage. There are 3 little phrases that come up in the Bible that when you hear them, your brain should immediately think, we are talking about the Eucharist. Where is the Eucharist in this scene? And these 3 phrases are this, blessed, broken, and given. Jesus takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He blesses them as if He would on the altar. He breaks them as the priest does on the altar. And as He does during communion, gives them out. Whenever you hear these 3 words, blessed, broken, and given in a gospel passage, your brain should immediately go, where is the Eucharist here? A little hint for you if you want to go and explore the gospel, explore the New Testament. It's all over the place. But Jesus asked His apostles to do the impossible. Multiply these loaves, feed these people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they say, it is impossible, Lord. And He says, give me what you have. Blesses them, breaks them, and gives them out. And not only are the 5,000 people fed, but there are 12 wicker baskets full left over. When we give everything to the Lord, especially in our poverty, in our weakness, He multiplies it. And actually, we receive more at the end than when we started. What we have left over is not just 5 loaves and 2 fish. It is 12 wicker baskets full. Amazing. My friends, so often I imagine myself when I come in especially every day, come before our Lord in the Eucharist, in the tabernacle. I imagine all of my problems, my poverty, as manure. And I am shoving it into the tabernacle and saying, Lord, I need you to handle this, take care of this for me. And I've realized doing this day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out, is that when I shove my problems into the tabernacle, what comes out seems to be diamonds. He transforms them. It's extraordinary. I've seen miracles happen. I've brought people literally into the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist and had them go from being atheists into Catholics. I kid you not. I've had moments in my life be absolutely transformed by just coming before him and saying, here are my 5 loaves and 2 fish. I need you to feed the people because I can't do it. And Jesus does it. Third and final reason why I come before our Lord at every Mass, every week, every day, is one that I'm still working on. And I invite you to work on it with me. So often I find myself thinking, God, I have to do something for you to prove my love for you. That you're a God about results. Let's get stuff done. I've asked you, called you, Father Michael, I've called you to do something for me. That's why I have you come before me in my presence. And I've come to realize that's profoundly not true. Perhaps Jesus comes in the Eucharist just to be with me, just to be with you, because he loves us, not for anything we can do for him. How amazing is that? That our God would say at the end of the gospel, behold, I will be with you always until the end of the world. And perhaps, just perhaps, he would choose to do it in this way. That his body and blood will remain with us always. And if we go to Mass, we are renewed. We get to receive him purely out of his love for us. Not for anything we have done, anything we deserve, but as a pure gift. This is transforming my life right now, praying about this reality. And invite you to join with me in praying about it. My friends, we need to ask for a greater conviction of the fact that Jesus is present in the Eucharist, his body, blood, soul, and divinity, and that he loves us, and that he supports us in his love, that if we give him our problems, our 5 loaves and 2 fish, he transforms them and makes miracles happen, and that when we go in front of his presence, we know that we're loved and chosen and cherished. Absolutely incredible. My friends, on this day, this Feast of Corpus Christi, beg him to know that he is present for you, in you. Allow him to reveal to you the great miracle it is that when he comes upon this altar, when you approach the Lord of Communion and that host is placed on your hands, when that host is placed on your tongue, you are receiving God himself. It's amazing. Let us ask for the grace to be convinced of this and to answer the question in an ever deeper way. Why do you come to Mass? Why do you approach Jesus in the Eucharist? This is a question that will take our entire life to answer. And hopefully, God willing, we will go deeper and deeper, being more immersed into the love of Jesus for us.